Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
So what I want you to do, I want you to open up your Bibles with me, and we're just going to roam around for a little bit, but I want you to open up to Psalm 23 and just hold it there for a little while. And one of the things we have to do all the time whenever you're talking about Scripture is that we have to fight the sense that I've been there, done that, read that 100 million times. So as soon as I say Psalm 23, we have got to move aside to the fact of thinking that this is just, you know, this is just what a kids do, or this is what this is, or I've heard this so many times, and whatnot. We move beyond that. Some of you may not have had that, you know, trigger in there, but if you had, just move beyond it and get ready to grasp. The other thing I want you to turn in is 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to go there first. So just hold on to your place in Psalms, and then we're going to go over to 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 1 and verse 17, a very familiar passage this morning. But here is my question for you today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on now, are you ready? It's okay. It's okay to speak it out. Are you ready? And you might be saying, okay, what am I ready for? I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say in this? Are you ready? This is, for me, the sense of right now that we are about to walk into a new dispensation of the abundance of the pouring out reign of God. I know in my spirit that I don't want to miss this. Come on now, I don't want to miss this. And so in all of this, here's what I'm going to be doing this morning. I wish that I knew what my sermon was. It would be great, okay, to know. I am the type that I like to have all my notes wrote out. I've got a few things that I had wrote down that the Lord gave me. I'm the type that I'd like to spend time and hours and hours and hours and hours preparing and doing these things because I want to be faithful unto the Lord. But I'm also the type that when God says go, you go. I remember being one place and I was pastoring there, and it's happened to me at least three times that I can remember right now, but that I had my sermon prepared and I had worked all week and I had put probably 20 hours into this sermon. And as I sat down and I was about to get up and begin to preach, the Lord said, are you willing to leave your notes behind and open up to this passage? And I said, Lord, is there an option, you know, in this? And there, of course, there was an option. He would have loved me and he would have worked through me. He would have done everything if I wasn't able to do that at that time. But those were these days when the Spirit of God was upon us so very, very strongly that in everything we do, when we opened our mouths, the word of the Lord came out. Do you remember? Come on now. Do you remember in this? Because there have been seasons in our lives where we can point to and we can say the minute we opened our mouth, the Spirit of the Lord began to function through us, and wow, what God did. And I'm not just talking about as a preacher or as a pastor. I'm talking about the fact that there were seasons in our lives when we felt like David. And Pastor Gary, you open it up when you're talking about David, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I thank you for the confirmation here that at least I'm in the right hemisphere of the Bible, okay, to begin with this morning. But I believe that God is calling out the Davids right now that are hiding in the cave. Come on now. I believe that God is calling out the Davids that are hiding in the cave. And it's saying it's time to let all the other stuff go and get ready to move for God. There has been a brutal season in the last little while for me of just letting go. Letting go, letting things die, letting things, and you know, almost to the point where I might even be able to say that all I can smell is death at times. Because this hope, this one over here, or that over there, or this is what I thought over here, just dying, dying, dying. You're saying, no, Pastor Rod, hold on to it, hold on to it, hold on to it. And there comes a moment when you have to go, no. Death must come so that new life can begin. You see, there is this sense within is that disappointment wants to grab a hold. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in here, but I'm talking about in this is that disappointment can turn into a grief. And there's a difference between, the fact of there's normal grief. Grief is healthy, right? Come on now. Grief is healthy. If someone tells you grief isn't healthy, they don't understand. They don't know what, they probably haven't gone through it yet in this. But grief is healthy. But grief is not a land that we can build in. Hear me. Grief is not a land that we can build in. Grief is a transition from great loss into the next. That is its purpose. It is to take us through, walk us through the valley of the shadow of death, which is what we're talking about in Psalm 23 here, talking about this valley of the shadow of death. But grief has one purpose, and it is to move us through, to bring us through healing that we might be restored to move on to the next thing. And when I know that the Lord, June 18th, I can look on my phone and see where the Lord gave me this path, this particular, not this sermon in this sense, because he's still giving it to me as I talk. So there is a sense though within this, that June 18th, I began to write down this thing about grief. And I talked about the fact that the houses that are built in the land of grief, I've got to go. They've got to be torn down. They've got to, because what happens even in my own life has been that there's been disappointment that's turned to grief because of great loss. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that in my life that I've had someone that's passed away or something and those things. That's a whole different perspective on grief. Still, the truth applies that grief is there to help us move forward. But nobody can tell you when you're done grief, right? Come on now, nobody can tell you when that season is done in there. And it's different for everybody. But you will notice for me within this kind of grief that I'm talking about, and that is the sense that I thought this is the grief that I'm talking about. I thought it was gonna look like this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I really thought it was gonna look like that. I remember graduating from Bible school and when I went to Bible school, it's just, I struggled in school. And it's not that I didn't do okay, in there, but I struggled in school. And because I struggled with reading, and specifically struggled with reading out loud. Please do not get me reading out loud is what it would be. And I can remember in school, and we used to joke about the fact of not being able to spell your way out of a paper bag. You just couldn't spell, you couldn't do these things. And it was so humiliating at different times. But over those seasons, God began to do something in me. And I can remember him telling me, even as a young kid, that if you read your Bible out loud, I will teach you how to read. And as I began to read my Bible out loud, and not just to myself quietly, but begin to read it out loud, I began to be stronger and stronger and stronger at the ability to be able to read. But when I look and when I think about all of these things, God is bringing us on a journey, though, to move out. Because if I would have stayed with the fact that I can't, if can't would have become my language, I would have built houses in the land of can't. You're going to hear me say build houses a lot in this next little while. But we have got to move from the land of grief and disappointment and can't into the position that we're ready for God to move us into his next. You notice I didn't say push into the next. We look at this story with David. This is David and Goliath. And it's just such an incredible Bible story. I love teaching it with kids. And the power of David in that moment. And that he slays the giant. And everybody's just like, wow, that's absolutely amazing. But you see, David says something. And he tells, basically he's telling Saul, this is why I think I know that I can do this. This is why I know that I was born for this moment. Because I've been able to come up against the lion and the bear. And in those times, God worked and moved, and I was able to destroy the lion and the bear because he was going after the sheep. And I always, when I read that, go, okay, you're talking about a lion. I was at the zoo this week. This lion, I wouldn't have wanted to mess with this lion. This lion was massive, and there were bears, and there was a polar bear there that's hand was as big as my head. I mean, I'm like, David, okay, you sound like, you're acting like this was no big deal. It's just a bear came in after, it was no big. He doesn't either say it came in and I scared it away. He said it came in and I ran after it. Took the sheep from it. And then, the rest of that story. But in those moments, I'm going to ask you something right now. Do you feel very much like a bear slayer? Do you feel very much like a giant slayer? Because this is what David, where he was at this moment. But if I was to be brutally honest with you, with my own self, I don't feel much like a giant slayer right now. Come on now, maybe I'm the only one in this. Don't feel much like a bear slayer, and I don't feel much like a lion slayer in this. And so I began to say, even this morning, when God began to show me and walk me through a couple of things, and he says, here, this is where you need to go. And I'm like, yeah, but Lord, can I just get this down before I preach it? That would be really nice. And yet, here it is. David is the one we learn from, and we have to retrace his steps back, because he wasn't going to fight the giant the first day he connected with God. There was a place for David where he learned who he is. There's some giant slayers in this room right now who have just totally forgotten who they are. In fact, they believe who they are from their circumstances or their experiences. Come on now, all these fingers are pointing back at me. Experience wants to tell us that this is how it was meant to be. But guess how I figure out how it's meant to be? This. This is what tells me what it was meant to be like, even in the face of when it doesn't look like it. In the face when I don't feel much like getting up and slaying any giants today. Come on now. But in this moment, we begin to trace back. And I go, okay, so before Goliath, there was the bear and the lion. So Lord, what's before the bear and the lion? And Pastor Gary alluded to it this morning. And this is what it's all about. It was about, we can trace back and recognize that David was in the presence of God. And that's truly who he listened to find out who he was. Not the circumstances, not the situations, not the frustrations, but the word of the Lord in the moment. The word of God in the moment. And if you look, we can just go over, you know what, go over with me to Psalms. We'll go over here instead of going over the other place right now. Psalms 23. Help, Lord. Psalms 23, I could probably give it to you by memorization, but I want to go through this. Psalm 23, and we're going to stop specifically really today in one particular area. Psalm 23 and 1 says this, the Lord is my, right, he is my shepherd, I shall not want. Randy already explained a little bit, gave us a little bit of understanding this in the sense that our shepherd is there. Our shepherd has opportunities for us. Our shepherd is making a way. Our shepherd is even more concerned about our finances than we are. Come on now, some of you had a struggle with that right there. God is more interested in the development of your finances than even you are at times, because he knows what you need to move forward into the next season. And you see, worth and value are the lies we believe when we're stuck in grief. Come on, I'll say that again. The lack of worth and value are the lies that we believe when we're stuck in grief. We're stuck in grief from a loss. We're stuck in grief from a lack. We're stuck in grief from, I didn't think it would be this way. And what happens is we become so numb that all we feel is the numbness of grief, and we have don't even have the ability to move ourselves into this next season. I don't have any ability to do this on my own. And so then it's this relying upon God that he will make me lie down in green pastures. Now read that. It says, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, when I was struggling with who God was at different times in my life and thinking that even that maybe God was an angry God that just was ready for me to make a mistake and just crush me, when I read this particular thing is, and he makes me lie down in green pastures, I had this image in my head that God was tying up me up and pinning me down and going, get down in the green pasture. Okay, in this, and I'd be like struggling. Okay, fine. We're gonna have to knock this boy out just to get him into the green pasture. But that's not what this means. That's not what it is. It means he makes the environment so much so that we will lie down in the green pastures. If you know anything about sheep and about sheep farming, sheep need, they have these things that they need. It's an inability. They're always like looking around. Well, what's going to happen? Who's here? Who's come to eat me? You know, who's this? What is this? They're like, Just on edge, constantly in this. But when the shepherd is in the field, all that stuff just begins to dissipate. And they are able to lie down because the shepherd's in the field. The question in this today really for us is that whose field are we lying down in? You know, because when we are lying down in his field. And when I say these things, please don't think I'm sitting there trying to get on you. All these fingers are pointing back at me right now within this. But the truth is that when I begin to say things and when I begin to believe that there's hopelessness or it's a hopeless situation or nothing's ever gonna change, I have to begin to ask myself, who's shepherd? Who's my shepherd? And what field am I lying down in? Whose? Because if it's his field that I'm lying down in, there is a peace beyond understanding, and there is an expectation that he is preparing a way for me. Come on now. This is something that this shift begins to happen in our minds. And I feel like the answer to be basically walking in who we are is not to try harder. And it's not even to try less in this way, but it's to retrace the steps of David that we would begin to lie down in green pastures. It is a return that I'm calling you to right now, to green pastures. Now, I'm not talking about the fact of looking over at somebody else's fence and seeing it's greener over there. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking to you is about learning to be able to fully do three things. To be able to trust God again. And for some of you, you might be looking at me like I have seven heads today, going, what are you talking about? You know, I trust God. I realize how much I trust him by my reactions. Anybody else? My eventual response is not always a sign of how I'm doing, but my reactions certainly are. When all of a sudden something happens and my reaction is that I'm expecting, whoa, look out, I mean, this is going to be bad, then I have again begun to believe that somebody else is my shepherd, certainly not the good shepherd. Amen? Because God has a plan for us. So there's this sense of him calling us once again to trust. And trust is this. Trust is not based upon he made me feel good, so therefore I trust him. Trust is based upon, I am going to trust him no matter how I feel, no matter how it looks. Because, our identity is not found in conquering giants, but it's found in quiet pastures. Our identity is not found in conquering giants. Our identity is found in the quiet pastures. I believe that right now that God is calling us to this new level of understanding of trust, of moving beyond. And for me, this is going to sound really strange to you, okay? So if you don't understand it, and after you're going, I haven't got sweet clue what Pastor Rob is talking about, come ask me, come talk to me. I'm not a bear. I promise I won't, you know, those things. I will answer your questions. But I've had a lot of funerals in the last little while. And I'm not talking about anybody died in my life. There were things that I was holding on to that I had to let die. I had to let go. And my soul was fighting to keep them when God was trying to give me something brand new. I was trying to hold on to things that maybe even promises that were there, that yet he was about to revive me and give me brand new promises, and yet I wanted the old ones. Come on now. I know this is hard. This is hard. This is difficult, okay, in this. But in order to make way for the new, we have to let the old go. Come on now. You have to let the disappointment go. We've got to let that grief go. We've got to let it go because they become, it becomes glasses that I begin to see through and that I begin to expect through. And it is something that for me, that the sense of trust begins to be again, Lord, you have not abandoned me. I declare you have not abandoned me. No matter what it looks like, you have not abandoned, try it out with me. Lord, you have not abandoned me. You have not abandoned me. No matter what it looks like, Lord, you have And see, this is something that our language is so very important, so very crucial with our language right now in this season, that God is with us, he is for us. But in order for me, let me put it this way. In order for sheep to be able to lie down, they need four different things to be present. This is what they need. They need to be free from fear. We have gone through a season right now of there's just fear everywhere we look. And it is truly time to move beyond this fear, because fear, is, here's what the fear is. Fear of the unknown is what causes most panic. Fear of the unknown. It's not even the fear of what's in front of you. It's the fear of the unknown that causes most panic. But our impulse is often to run when the enemy comes to destroy our peace. When we think of the fact of sheep, if all of a sudden something is around that shouldn't be, I mean, there's a story that this writer Keller tells of he invited these friends over and he had all his sheep basically right out, like if you think of right out in a pen out here, like a huge area that they were there, and it was connected to the open gates and everything for the fields. And he had brought them in, and these friends wanted to see his sheep and, you know, blah, 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 blah. You come in there, you see them. Well, when they arrived, they opened the door and this little tiny dog jumped out. Jumped out. The sheep thought it was a gorilla or something like that big. They just were out of here. They were gone so fast. He had to spend all of this time going out and gathering back together. To say the least, he told his friends when they come over now, you leave the little dog behind. But sometimes, see, we begin to then, when we're in this place and when we're struggling in this and when fear is sort of rampant, the little tiny chihuahua, the little tiny dog. I mean, if you've seen my little dog's name is Buttons, because she's as cute as a button right in there. And I like my little dog to, when she's, you know, has her hair and, like, you know, she's just full and she looks a little bit bigger. But Karen likes the puppy, which is no longer a puppy, okay, in there, but she's just so small, she always looks like a puppy. She likes her shaved practically right down. And I will come back from seeing her, and she looks like somewhat like a normal dog and everything else, and I'll come home and be like, where did the rat get into the house? You know, and this small, little, tiny, little thing running around in there. But with my dog, she thinks she's all that in a bag of chips. I mean, right now we are trying to figure out how to get her to start barking at everything that goes by the window. I mean, not even, she's not even up in the window. She's in the seat, we're watching the Blue Jays, they're losing. And so all of a sudden it's been happening a lot lately. So we're just sitting there watching the Blue Jays. She's sitting right here. And the person has begun to walk probably about 5 or 10 feet up on the other side of the window. You can't even see them, you can't hear them, but she goes. I'm like, Button, stop. And when they get to around the window, up, and she'll go over to the door and back over to the door. I'm like, how are you going to get out to even get them? What are you doing? You know, but she is this great, she's this little tiny thing. And if you accidentally stepped on her, and you know, that would be it. But it's something where, like, that's really, she's not all, I mean, if she goes after a big dog goes by, and she has got to defend the family from the murderers that are walking by. I mean, seriously, my daughter comes in the door still, and I'm like, Abby is not going to kill us. Please stop barking like this. But see, she thinks this. But sometimes even when the enemy starts to, you know, with circumstances and situations, we get the idea that it's some great big situation. But really, it's just a small little dog named Buttons, you know, barking around. And we realize, hang on a second, I have let fear, or the fear of the unknown, to control me. And it's the days right now of saying, Lord,
I refuse to be walking in this spirit that I call, it's the foreboding, the expecting of something bad is about to come. And I'm telling you, it is rampant everywhere you look. But for us, see, what hope is expecting something good from our Heavenly Father. And that is that transition. That is that place. The second thing that they really need is they need to have freedom from friction. This is not about, even in us, we're not talking about the fact of the total lack of confrontation. But in the sheep lives, there is this, what you call budding order. And it's usually it is a older female who is very strong and she will go along. And if some of the little young ones, you think like, you know, they're going to come over and, oh yes, this is the good food for you. It's right here. No, they'll just sit there and put the head down and poof, when these little ones go flying across and whatnot, because she's just like, no way, this is my stuff. It's this territorial thing. And when that begins to happen with these sheep and these sheep herds, all of a sudden everybody's on, because grandma over there is going to freak out again and we don't know what's going to happen. Okay, and seriously, this is what happened. And the sheep just runs around and terrorizes everybody because she needs everybody to know that she's the boss. And it's this thing of your position. And in the sheep, it's then what happens is then everybody else learns, so this is how you live. So then the bigger sheep decide to do the same thing. And so then the whole family is in uproar, running around wondering who's going to smack them next, okay, or butt them next. And then this thing happens. The shepherd walks into the field and everything changes. There's no more strife. The one that was teaching everybody to do it this way stops, settles down. They are at peace themselves. They no longer are functioning from insecurity. And that is a lot what's happening. And even in the body of Christ right now, that we sometimes function in such insecurity that we spread this insecurity like wildfire everywhere we go. And it's something that as body of Christ, we have to stop doing. And we have to walk in who we are in Christ. And this sense of this friction, even within the body, has got to stop. And I had lots to say this morning because it's already 11:24. But I would say this to you. The other one's this. So the first one is the freedom from fear. It's the freedom from friction. The next one is funny. They need the freedom from flies and pests. Now, this one's could get a little bit gross, okay, in there. But, I mean, the stuff that happens with sheep, you're like, Lord, why did you call us sheep? I mean, the flies and the gnats and the stuff that, okay, I will not get into the gross business. But they have to be tended. They have to be cared for. There has to be oil involved to get rid of the pests. There has to be, even you're talking about a chemical dip at different times to get rid of all the ticks. You're talking about, but when it says, you will anoint my head with oil, the sheep's heads are anointed with oil. They're put, in other words, their oil is placed upon them so that the oil drips down over into their ears, around their face, and that the gnats and the flies and all that stuff don't want to be around when the oil is present. Sound like something? When the presence of God is so full in our lives, those gnats and those lies, they have nowhere to infest us. The fourth thing is this, is they need to be free from hunger. And you see, with this particular verse here, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep actually function best in arid conditions. That's why when David's talking about this and he's writing this, he's writing it from Palestine. And this is a very desert type atmosphere in this. And all of us, what there will be is there will be these pastures or these areas that they will lead them to. Because, but you know what the funny thing is? Begin to look at that and read it. Even Keller talks about it, that these pastures in those places don't accidentally happen. You know, that they happen because they've cleared the stones, cleared the rocks. They've even diverted some of the water down so that it could begin to irrigate those particular sections. And the shepherd actually spends a lot of time preparing this pasture land. It doesn't just happen. And in us, who is our great shepherd, and he is always, always preparing for us. Would you stand with me? I believe that the bottom line here is this. David, the Goliath slayer, came about through David, the bear and lion slayer. But that David came by spending time in the pasture with God, spending time in the presence. And the biggest lie right now that I believe that is in the atmosphere everywhere I go and everywhere I talk to people, that they are unworthy to get to walk into that presence. They are unworthy. They feel so very unworthy that they would be able to step into such a plush, beautifully prepared pasture of the presence of God. If we have that picture, Tony painted this particular picture. It's put together on a card that I have, and it shows this. It shows, do we have that card in there? Can we put that up? Okay, good. Oh, there we go. Great. You see on the one side there that the person is standing in the midst of the deluge with an umbrella. And the umbrella is blocking all of the water and it's going around. And we would say that's normal, right? That's normally what you would do. You don't, you know, if you only take an umbrella with you in the natural when it's raining. But it's the little kid on the other side that we need to become like. That we stop letting the rain of the presence of God, the fullness of the presence of God, totally saturate us. Because the umbrella can be, and it's different interpretations. I'm sure Tony has a different interpretation to this as well. But that umbrella can become something where you're blocking the fullness of the presence of God because we don't feel like we deserve this. Close your eyes and bow your head just for a second. So I'm calling out the Davids today. And I'm not talking about men in this. I'm talking about those that are the giant slayers that are among us. Those, and you know, you might say, well, that ain't talking about me. More than likely he is. But there is this sense of going, I choose to move from building in the land of grief and the land of loss to begin to move into the next that God has for me. And that I choose right now to fully embrace the pasture, the presence of God with the fullness for the purpose of God doing a wonderful work in me first, that I can then be used by Him to do this wonderful work in others. If we could just turn on some music. I don't want the worship team to come right now. But just for the next few minutes, I'm going to ask you, because I think that God is calling. I know He is with me, and He's calling for a response. If you knew that you're one of those ones that I'm talking about, that you've been called to be a giant slayer. You see, when the shepherd walks into that field and the sheep just all over the place, his whistle or his call changes everything. And as he begins to let his call go all over that area, the sheep hear it and they have a choice. They can run from him, or they can run to him. And the ones that are run from him find themselves in a barren land, in such a difficult place. But the ones that run to him find that he causes them to lie down in green pastures, that he restores their soul. And even though the valley of the shadow of death has been so very, very difficult. He calls them out by name. I felt like the presence of the Lord was here today to call us again. So if that's you today, I'm going to ask you just turn up the music. Just ask you just to come. It's just with you and God. Stand on these altars and say, Lord, I am ready. It's been hard. It's been difficult. But I am ready to move out of the land of grief and loss. And I am ready to move into your next, Lord. And I declare that by the Spirit of God, I am a giant slayer. Even though I don't feel like it, even though I don't know, and I declare that I will embrace your pasture. I will embrace your presence. If that's you, just come. Come, stand with just you and God. Listen to him. I won't be praying over people today in this, because this is something with you and God. Saying, Lord, it is time to leave the disappointment, the destructive senses behind. And it's time to move into you. It's time to lay down my whys that never get answered. It's time to lay down the whys that this happened. Why did that happen? Why hasn't this happened? And why hasn't that happened? And just say, here I am, Lord. Just you and God right now. Just raise your hands to him. So Holy Spirit, I pray you would pour out upon them now your love. Pour on them. As the invitation goes to walk with you into green pastures and then to lie down and be completely at rest in you. Trusting you, Lord. Only if you want to. But I'm going to say, Lord, I hear your voice calling me. And I'm walking towards you today. I hear your voice calling me. And I'm walking towards you today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Harana mashu tu kubara batata. Harana mashu tu kubara tata. And so, Lord, as the men and women that are here with me right now, that we say, Lord, we want to get rid of fear today. I don't want to live in fear today. I don't want to live in the fear of the unknown, and I choose to change the way I think and way I believe today, right now, today. I choose to believe, Lord. I choose to believe that you are with me and that you are for me. And I choose to believe this is not the end of my story. Come on, say that. This is not the end of my story. I choose, Lord, to walk away from friction of having to have my own way and to looking and promoting self and trying to do these things, whatever it might be, but being in friction with one another. I walk away from judgments today. I walk away from judging those that are around me today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I leave that life behind. And Lord, I embrace today your oil, Lord. I embrace your oil today, Lord. Jesus, I embrace your oil today. The oil of your Holy Spirit. Come on. I receive your oil, Lord. I receive your oil that you call us now, priests. This is who you call us now in the new kingdom. And this oil, it begins to drive away all these lies that we can begin to hear you properly as the oil of the Spirit begins to be applied to our hearing. That we can begin to see you properly as the oil of the Spirit begins to be applied to our spiritual eyes. And that we can speak properly in expectation again when the oil of the Holy Spirit is applied to our mouths. So here we are, Holy Spirit. Drench us with your oil. Drench us with your oil. Drench us, Lord. Saturate us with your oil, Lord. Not something that dries up tomorrow afternoon, but something, Lord, brand new. The oil of gladness that begins to shift and begins to change us. As we step in, Lord, to your provision, whether it's physically that we need finances to be able to function, or Lord, maybe for us, finances isn't the issue, but to begin to dream to be able to give like never before. To be able to change people's lives with finances. Lord, that you would use us, Lord, that we would be such givers in our midst, God. And lastly, Lord, that we might be hungry. It's always a strange thing we think of Scripture says to be hungry and thirsty. But we want to be hungry and thirsty for more of you. Amen? Amen. So lastly, Lord, here we are. Here we are. Take us on a new journey again. Give us new dreams, not the old. The things that are dead, but the brand new, new life in you, new expectations in you, and a new day in you. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. I bless you. Greet one another. Go with an expectation in your heart and with your spirit. God is doing something new, people. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.